As you'll know, you will have heard it from here before, not just from me. Martin Luther King is quoted as saying, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it inclines towards justice." There are times in which it feels like a very long arc indeed, with only a slight inclination. It can feel fatiguing to consider the inequities of our societies, the needs of our world, and the crisis in our climate, and to wonder just how much we are doing that is good. What difference are we making? And so typically on a week like this with such weighty thoughts on my mind, I have three readings today that I would love to delve deeper into. Partly because of this question of our work of justice together, social, spiritual, climate justice, which are all addressed to different degrees in all three of these readings. But, there's the but, time doesn't permit. You'll be glad to know it's not one of those settle down and bring a sleeping bag kind of times. I want to take something from each passage and send us out with these thoughts for the coming days and weeks. I want to point firstly to the words of St. Paul, and it's nice to be able to say, it probably is St. Paul this time in Galatians. Here, Paul is talking about the discipline of the church. And you can tell he's dictating to someone because he's throwing out random statements and they're sort of all glued together in a couple of paragraphs. But he's talking about the calling for Christ followers to be people of integrity. He has strong words to say, and indeed, the whole of Galatians is pretty fervent. When he gets to the point of saying, "Stop talking about circumcision, I just wish they'd chop the lot off," you know he's not happy. And even here, at the end of the letter, he's putting a personal seal on it and saying, "See what large letters I make when I'm writing with my own hand," which has led to much speculation about what that means. Specifically, is it like someone writing in all capitals on social media, kind of shouting at people online? Is it St. Paul letting people know he doesn't normally write, which is kind of obvious from the flow of his letters, that he's not using his amanuensis at this point, the person he dictates to? Well, whatever is happening, Paul is saying, "These are my words from me to you." And the words I want to take from amongst all of these ones that St. Paul throws out this morning, all of Paul's admonitions and his talk of living lives that reflect the values of Christ, are these. Galatians 6:9. You don't get me kind of proof texting, quote texting very often, but I'm going to today. "Let us not grow weary of doing what is right." For those of us committed to social justice, to equity, to affirming those of any sexuality, gender identity, or background, or experience, it can be a tiring path. For those of us wrestling with the despair of climate change, it can feel exhausting. For those of us who long for racial justice and the celebration of the diversity of human experience, it can feel overwhelming. For those of us still traveling through pandemic, it can feel exhausting. And on top of this, we feel the weight and the disappointment of progress made and progress undone, particularly with such high visibility decisions as the fall of Roe v. Wade and the undoing of climate protections just in the last 2 weeks in the US Supreme Court, and the inactions of our own governments over years with regards to climate action, with the increase in fossil fuel subsidies, buying pipelines and old growth logging. And for those who are part of the LGBTQ2SI+ community, for racialized persons, for environmental activists and campaigners, the pain is even more real through lived experience of these things. St. John's here, as a community, we could kind of rest on our laurels, perhaps, to a certain degree, and we could say, look how far we've come. Look how much St. John's has done to advance the cause of justice in the Anglican Church of Canada and in partnership with Indigenous persons, with persons of colour, and groups such as Dogwood, Faith in Action, GVAT. We have been involved and are involved in changing things for the better. In my own journey, that's a little aside, I've come from a place where in a little country church, a member of the congregation would not read this passage from Galatians because it mentioned circumcision and their daughters were in the congregation. To last week, when Bishop Anna would talk about anal sex, and not for the shock value, but because it was in the context of what needed to be said. There has been progress in our work in this community and through this community. We might even go so far as to say, maybe it's time to take a little break. It's unfortunate, though, that we cannot do that. There is more to be done. And our queer siblings, our Indigenous siblings, our Black, Brown, and Asian siblings continue to be oppressed and marginalized and too often ignored by the church and by wider society. Our world, God's creation, is still needing healing. Paul reminds us, though, that we are all to stand together in this work, to bear one another's burdens. He tells us this work of justice is not done alone. For us, it is done in partnership, it is done in community, and for those of us who are Christ followers, it is done in faith, hope, and love, and with the gift of the life of the Spirit to uplift and uphold us. As an ally to the queer community, as someone committed to climate justice, as someone dedicated to the work of racial justice and diversity, I cannot say, well, I've done all I can, when there are still those who are suffering, those who are crying out for justice. Nor can we as a community. For instance, in our participation in the Pride Parade last week, we joined the celebration of where our world has moved forward, but we also had to recommit ourselves to the work of justice and advocacy. And again, as an ally and as someone committed, part of a community committed to justice, there is something we need to say. That is something we need to say here today. If we look at today's reading from 2 Kings, we see here the great general Naaman the Syrian seeking healing and given simple instructions of what to do. And he reacts negatively. We have better rivers near me, he says. My father always used to say that about Ireland. Better rivers in Ireland than anywhere else. Why didn't I get any ritual, says Naaman? Why didn't the prophet come and speak to me? That's it, I'm off. Naaman wanted to participate in this work of healing, but only on his own terms. It took the voice of a servant to bring him back to his senses. For those of us working for justice, for those of us who are allies, we do not get to dictate the terms. We don't get to tell our LGBTQ2SI siblings to get over their pain, or how they are meant to feel, or how grateful they should be for our efforts. We don't get to say what is or isn't racist when racialized people are sharing their lived experience with us. We don't get to feel righteous because we recycle or we have an electric vehicle, though those things are good. This is not a road that we are on in order to feel better about ourselves. This is a journey we are on because it is right. It's right because queer communities, Indigenous communities, Brown communities, Black communities, Asian communities, and the earth itself are seeking justice. We are called to be people of love. And to quote again Cornel West, justice is what love looks like in public. We are called to act with compassion. And yes, we are all called to be loving. And we do this together. Lastly, from our gospel reading, we have a calling and a challenge. The calling is to be these people who live peace. The challenge is to stay even when we want to shake the dust from our feet. Being people of peace does not mean being placid. In fact, being a peacemaker may actually mean being very noisy and very active, upsetting apple carts or tables in the temple. Refusing to accept the status quo is an inevitability just because our church or whoever tells us it is. In today's gospel passage, we're told to remain somewhere if a person of peace is in that house. But even if there are people of peace, it's hard to stay if it feels that there are other clamoring, judging, discordant voices. Our challenge is to make sure that our house, not just ourselves individually, but the whole household, by which I mean the whole church, is a place of peace. And by peace, we come back to that Hebrew idea of shalom, often translated as peace, but meaning so much more: wholeness, healing, integration, justice. We are challenged in partnership with the Holy Spirit to make our household one of wholeness, to work for unity, but not at the expense of justice, to be a place where all are welcome, but not at the expense of who they are, or if they fit into our way of doing things. And we continue to not tire of doing good, to seek justice and to proclaim justice and to live justice and to work for justice for all. May God grant us the strength and the compassion we need to continue, and some wisdom from the Talmud to finish, the Hebrew conversation with the scriptures that took place and takes place over many centuries. Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. Amen.